Take your Bibles this morning. Please turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 20. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 22 through verse 29 we'll be looking at this morning. It is interesting. This message is something I started working on a while back for this Sunday before all this took place and all this started really happening and coming into the realm that we know it this morning. This message is entitled, He's Still God, Even in the Valley. He's Still God, Even in the Valley. This was a terrible time for the people of Israel. They had the wicked king Ahab. They had been guilty, leading the people astray, and they were worshiping the god of Baal and all those things that were happening and all that was taking place. They were coming to this place that they finally had victory in their lives, and then they had victory, and then they come to a place where they thought, many in that day thought, well, they only had victory because they were in the mountain. But if we get them to the valley, that's where we're going to get them. I want us to look at this thought of discouragement this morning. We're going to be talking about this throughout this chapter and looking at these verses and looking at some wonderful truths that could be a help to us. But you know, one of the greatest tools that devil has to get us is that of discouragement. That tool of discouragement is a tool that can get into our hearts, into our lives. And if it gets into us, it can cause us to fall into other areas of trouble in our lives. If you're able to, 1 Kings chapter 20. Look with me in verse 22. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at thy return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing. Take the king away, every man out of his place. And put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost. Horses for horse, and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year, that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Ephek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, Because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was. Then the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask as we open your words this morning that you would illuminate your scriptures to us, that you would speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me again at verse number 23. He's still God in the valley. They assumed something that was not true. I want us to first see the assumption that they made during this time. Look at verse 23. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their God are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. They assumed something here. They assumed that God was only the God of the hills. They limited God. I want us to understand something this morning. Many of us are limiting God in our lives. We assume that God can only handle certain things. You say, oh, preacher, I would never say God is not strong enough to take care of this area or that area of my life. Even during this time of our life and all that's going on, many individuals, even believers this morning, are limiting God. They're saying, all right, well, we have to do this and we have to do that. Now, understand we need to take precautions. I understand we need to be careful in what we do. I understand those things, but the Bible tells us we are not to have a spirit of fear. The Bible tells us that God is still God. He is still in control of everything that is happening. And everything that takes place in our lives is for a reason and for a purpose. And we have to understand that God is still God, even in this valley that we're going through. We're going through this time this morning, this past week, these past couple weeks of some hard times for many individuals. Many individuals don't know if they're going to have a job. Many individuals don't know how they're going to take care of certain things in their homes and be able to do certain things. But God is still God. The problem is they limited God. Sometimes we look at this and we say this. Well, God, you're good when everything's going good for us. But God is good all the time. The book of Psalms tells us over and over again, God is always good. His mercy, His grace, His love shall never run dry. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. God is good no matter what. Don't limit God. They limited God. Look a little further here. They limited God. They said their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger then. But let us fight against them in the plain. You know what the devil does? It's the same thing that they thought. You're on the mountaintop of your life. Things are going great. A few weeks back, a month or so ago, many individuals were doing great. Their retirement was at the highest level. Their income was high. They had many surpluses, many things happening. Some even had some spiritual victory in their lives. They saw their families getting right with God. They saw things happening and things taking place. They were on the mountaintop. But now this disaster comes in. And many people on mountaintop now find themselves in a valley. Some of the same people were looking forward to retirement now can't retire right at this point. Some that families were serving God and living for God because of this, some are going their own way and taking off. And we're in this valley. We're in the valley of life right now for many individuals. But God is still God. You see, God is no more stronger on the mountaintop of your life than He is when you're in the valley. God is still the same God. He still has the same power. He still has the same strength. He still can help you no matter what you're facing in your life this morning. He is still God. And they thought if they could get Him off. The devil wants you to get discouraged this morning. He wants you to start doubting God. He wants you and I to start questioning God. I tell you, as I had the opportunity this past week to be able to visit with people in our church and be able to take supplies. I was on the toilet paper delivery and we were able to get some, and there's some of our older folks that did not have toilet paper, so I was able to deliver toilet paper. I was able to deliver water and some other things to get into people's homes and to be a help there. But what's interesting is you talk to several different people. And many people are so discouraged. I was waiting in line for 20, 30 minutes at Walmart to get some toilet paper. And I tell you, there was people behind me in front, and they're all complaining and all murmuring. And then I recognized one of these individuals. He is actually a pastor of another type of church in town. And he was the biggest complainer of them all. And I won't say his name, I won't say any of that. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Why? Because during this time, the devil wants to get us discouraged. He wants to get us down. But God is still God, even in this place, in this valley of our lives. Let's not get discouraged this morning. They assume something. Don't assume God doesn't love you any more than He used to love you. God still loves you the same. Don't assume that you don't have the same power to tap into that you had before. You still have that same power to tap into. But I want you to see this announcement. We see what they assumed, but let's look at the announcement. Verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valley. Therefore, will I deliver all the great multitude into thy hand, and he shall know that I am the Lord. This announcement that was made, this announcement was given, was a source of encouragement to them. The enemy said, You're going to be defeated. The enemy said, You don't have a chance. They looked small in number. They filled the country. Yet the Israelites were just a small remnant there. It looked like there was no way. But I tell you, if you look throughout the Word of God, God is the God of the impossible. God is the God of the impossible. You can look at many situations. David against Goliath. You look at others that went against their enemy and they didn't have many in number. You look even at Gideon. You look at others. You see that. But God is the God of the impossible, and God can do what man doesn't think man that God can do. But God can do it. What took place? What happened? He sent an announcement. He gave encouragement. He gave a promise. Let us remember this morning, we have an announcement, we have a promise found in the Word of God. We can go to several portions of Scripture this morning, and we can look at this at the portion of Scriptures. We find out that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We find out that God is always there. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. We can find Scripture after Scripture after Scripture that we can claim. The announcement is given, and the greatest announcement we know is the battle is not the world's. Victory is not given to the devil. Victory is given to God, and one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess who Jesus Christ is, and he will have the ultimate victory. Victory is always his. It's already his. But we see this announcement given. Don't get discouraged. Get into this book. You know what they had to hear? They had to hear from the word of the Lord. What do they have to hear? I am the Lord. Get in this book and start reading this book. If you are reading it, read it more. If you're not reading it, start. Get in this book and find out how great God is and who God truly is, and be encouraged and find that promise and the announcement that he is Lord. What does the promise say? You have nothing to fear, because I'm going to give you the victory. Bible talks about fear not several times throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture says, fear not, fear not, fear not. The announcement is, fear not. Don't be afraid this morning. Oh, we don't know what may happen tomorrow. I'm going to do a Bible study this afternoon, choosing faith over worry. And we're going to look at that. But we need not to worry about tomorrow. We need to trust God and have faith in him alone for every aspect of our life. It says, and there came a man of God. I'm glad God has put his people where they need to be during this time. Do you understand? Do I understand that you and I can be the encouragement and the help that people need during this time? God placed his man where he wanted him. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you're in the city of Napa? Do you know why you're at your place of work? Do you know why you're where you're at with your family? Is God has placed you there to be in help and an encouragement to them, to recall to them, to help them remember the promises of God and the love of God. Let's use this time to encourage people, not to discourage people. Let's use this time to let them know that God still loved them, and God still died for them, and God still rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. They offer the only way of salvation, and their only hope is to put their faith and trust in him and him alone. But let's encourage believers to know that even though life is hard, God still loves them, God's still there for them, and God will help them through their valley that they're facing. God has put you in a special place. God has put me in a special place. Let's see ways we can be a blessing to someone. Let's not be a discouragement to someone. Let's find ways that you can go to your neighbors and take them some things that they may need. Let's find some ways that some co-workers you hear about, some of the working. I saw some things on Facebook about even the truck drivers and those aren't able to go through the drive-thru and the restaurants. Find ways to help them supply and take care of their needs, their physical needs. But let's also point them to their spiritual need, and that is Jesus Christ. We see the assumption. We see the announcement. But I also want you to see the accomplishment. Verse 29. I want to read something. Most of us know Fanny Crosby. She was blind, we understand. She lived to 95. But when she was 8, she penned these words, this poem. At 8 years old, she said, "Blind but happy. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Let's not whine and complain about our circumstance. Let's look at ways to be a blessing to others. I want to see the accomplishment, verse 29. "And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the 7th day the battle was joined. And the children of Israel slew the Syrians, 100,000 footmen in one day." We see they assume something. We see the announcement, hey, you can have victory. You will have victory. I will give you victory. And then we see what was accomplished and what took place. What did God do? He gave the victory. They even had joy in the victory because God did what no one thought could happen. He took a small group and slew a great multitude. What can God accomplish? He can do exceedingly above all we can think or ask. God can do anything that is in His will to do. A lot of people try to come up with foolish things and say, well, is God limited? No, God is not limited. But God is going to do what will glorify His Father and what will bring glory to His name. And His will was that Israel would have victory. You know what God wants in our lives? You know what God wants to accomplish in our lives? He wants you and I to have victory. He wants us to have victory in our lives. He does not want you to be defeated this week, this month, 6 months from now if it lasts that long. He does not want you to be defeated. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to see what He can accomplish and what He can do. You know what this does during a time like this? It tests our faith. See, what happened is, there was those that said, we'll get them in the valley, we'll get them. The Lord said, sent a messenger and said, no, I'm going to give you victory. They could have went, and they could have said, well, I know what God says, but I'm still not going to do it. I'm still not going to have the faith to do it. But they had the faith, they trusted God, and God accomplished it. This is what happens, let's be honest, in our lives. God tells us, I'll give you the victory. We're in the valley. Many are saying, you can't do it. And you know what we start to do, even though God says we can? We start to believe the enemy instead of believing God. You know what happens to our faith? We stop believing God. I'm not talking in regards to salvation. I'm talking about believing God for daily strength and help and victory. We lack faith. We start to lack faith. You know, we trust God when we're on the mountaintop. But when things start happening, instead of us by faith trusting God and getting closer and closer to Him, we pull away from God. And as far as we start pulling away from God, we get more discouraged and down than we ever been. But as by faith we trust God, and get closer to Him, we're strengthened more and more, and we have joy. That's why Paul was able to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because he was focused on God, not focused on his circumstance. And his faith grew stronger, and because his faith grew stronger, he was able to have joy. As we're going through our time this in our lives, some may not even be affected by what's going on. Some may be more affected. Some may have other issues, other struggles, other things happen in their lives. But let us be reminded, God is in control. No matter if you're on the mountain or if you're in the valley, God can and God will give you the victory. Maybe you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the first step of having victory. Man cannot save himself. All our works is as filthy rags. But because of our sin, we have come short of the glory of God. And the payment of that sin is death, separation from God for all of eternity. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God who bestowed his grace, but God who sent his only begotten Son to that old rugged cross, provided the only way of salvation. The Bible says that we must put our faith and trust in him. Jesus was crucified. His blood was shed. He took upon his shoulders your sin and my sin. He became the propitiation for you, for us, and for the sins of the whole world. And the Bible says that he died that day, was crucified that day, to offer the way of salvation. They took him, they placed him in the borrowed tomb, and as we know, 3 days later, he arose from the dead, having victory. Salvation's found in him. But victory doesn't stop just with salvation. Victory is given to the children of God who follow after him by faith and trust him and live for him. He will give you victory after victory after victory after victory in your life. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you that you are such a great God. And we thank you for the encouragement that you give us even in this time. Lord, I pray that you just help each of us just to rely and depend upon you. And thank you for the strength, and thank you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord, help us live a life that is pleasing in your sight and have faith and trust you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.